Dinner for Two is brought to you by Vista. If you're a small business owner, entrepreneur, or have a creative idea, Vista will help you bring your vision to life. Through their professional design solutions and services and high-quality marketing products, you can build a brand you can be proud of. Visit vistaprint.com.au to start creating.
Hi, I'm Elise Tran, and welcome to Dinner for Two, presented by Pop Sugar Australia. I've been working with Elle Ferguson since I started in business. When I was at TDE, I reached out to her back in 2015 to send her one of our first products, a leather pouch. And I was so thrilled when she posted a picture of it. I remember the shot. It was her sitting on her bed with a navy pouch on her legs. And, you know, her legs are iconic. So I was so excited. And I remember that post led to about 30 or 40 orders coming in. And I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but that type of thing created momentum in the TDE business. And to me, content creators are a key pillar of any marketing strategy in consumer goods. I'm all about it. I still do it now within the Roundhouse. You know, I work in a business that is the largest influencer marketing platform in the world. So I'm all about creative commerce. For me at TDE and with what I do now within the Roundhouse and in my career, it's always about maintaining momentum and keeping on an upwards trajectory. I always want to be bigger and better as each year goes on. And I'm sure for Elle Ferguson, as one of Australia's, nay, the world's top content creators in the female consumer goods space, it's also one of her concerns. So I wanted to talk to her today about how to maintain momentum in businesses that she's pivoted in and out of and how she just keeps moving up and up. Elle, thank you so much for coming on for Dinner for Two. I really appreciate you taking a slot of time out of your day to give this to me. Really excited to chat to you.
I'm so excited to be here. Finally, we get to sit down and have a chat.
I wish we were having dinner in real life, but we're in the midst of Omicron. So this is just like unexpected. And I fully thought that I would be able to see you face to face.
I know. I was looking forward to it, but there's something quite personal about being in somebody's lounge room on a screen. So yeah. We've taken the next step. We're on like date number two.
Yeah, totally. So we all know you as one of Australia's top content creators, and you're also the founder of Elle Effect, you know, by your own namesake. But a lot of people might not know what you did prior to becoming what you are today and what we see today. What did you do before all of this?
Yeah, so before what you see on Instagram and on the shelves of Mecca, I was the global visual merchandiser for the Seafolly Group. And prior to that, I worked for the General Pants Group for 6 years as their women's wear visual merchandiser. And all I can say to you is I'm a hard worker, and whatever I've ever done, I've hustled and I've worked. And, you know, my first business, which was They All Hate Us, actually launched when I was working at General Pants, and I was doing that after hours. So before what you see now, I was a hard worker and worked for some of Australia's, you know, best brands.
Amazing. So I guess, you know, as a young woman taking these jobs, getting in there and getting, you know, I think, as you say, you're a hard worker, down and dirty.
Yeah.
Did you feel like that created momentum in your career, and that is the attitude that you've brought to the work that you do now?
Like 100%. I think what drives me and gives me momentum is the fact that people always consistently feel the need to tell me that I can't do it. I don't know why. I mean, you know, my cheerleaders that are my mom and my sister and my partner have always said that I could fly to the moon if I needed to or if I wanted to. But for there's some reason, everybody that I've either kind of worked for or I've been surrounded with have said, I can't do it. And it fuels me and it drives me and it gives me momentum to go and prove them wrong. So I feel as long with the hard work, there is this like fire within me that's got to prove people wrong.
I don't think you need to prove people wrong on the daily. I think, you know, you surpass our expectations when we, you know, reflect on the body of work you've created. And on that body of work, you know, at Elle Ferguson is a business in its own right, obviously.
Yeah, it's a big business. It's a beast of a business.
It is. I'm aware with the work, you know, with getting you to know a bit more about it through my role at LTK.
Yeah.
But, you know, I hear a lot of feedback from creators around, you know, keeping their content fresh and keeping excited in their work when, you know, it is around creating an image or these days creating a video or what have you. So how do you keep that content fresh to maintain that momentum and growth in that channel?
I think it comes down to passion. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I love what I do. I love the world of fashion. I love creating. I also think consistency is key and to treat it like a real job. Do you know what I mean? Like when I made the transition from leaving, you know, traditional like 9 to 5, not that it ever was 9 to 5, but kind of corporate world, I made sure I was making enough money to cover my rent, cover my lifestyle. So I never went into the creator space thinking that, oh, like this is a fun hobby. You know what I mean? Like it was work, like from the get-go, because I saw it. I saw like this pivot from blogging to Instagram. And then I was like, this is, you know, like this is moving really quickly. And I just was like, I need to be consistent. And even, you know, where I am now, I shoot every Friday, rain, hail, or shine, throughout COVID, throughout ISO. I locked out that Friday and I shot. And I mean, I don't know how many different ways I could have shot out the front of my house, but I did, because like you got to keep consistent. I think also what excites me is that like no 2 days are ever the same in this world, and everybody is looking. Everybody is watching, and you don't know who those people are, and you don't know what opportunities can come out of that, which is amazing.
So it's interesting that you talk about consistency, because I was going to ask you whether you had like an aesthetic strategy with that particular channel, but it sounds like, you know, you want to keep it pretty consistent. Do you want to repeat your words?
But then in
saying that, then do you ever feel scared that that look needs to evolve, or you feel like people might get sick of it, or, you know, do you ever get scared of plateauing because it is so consistent?
Like, yes and no. I think what I've realized is I've always been very authentic. It is me. You know what I mean? What you see is who I am. Like, I love clothes. I love shoes.
You do look like that. I've seen you not on a Friday, on a Saturday, and she does look like that.
No, you're very kind to say that, but it's not like I am on Instagram talking about food all the time, because it doesn't excite me as much as clothes do. Do you know what I mean? So I think as long as I'm passionate, that's what I'm putting out there. And I think with that, I've evolved. Do you know what I mean? Like I think about my page.
The energy is captured in the grid.
Yeah, it is. Do you know what I mean? And there is always something different happening. But then I also kind of think to myself, like with being relevant, I just keep doing what I do. And what I love is what I do. And I'm lucky enough that I've found a community that is moving, you know, with me and through this journey. It's really funny when people, you know, write to me and they're like, oh my God, I remember following you right at the beginning. I can't believe you're working with Dior now. And I'm like, I remember that. I still have the first Tiffany & Co. letter that they sent me and said, do you want to come into store and have a walk around and have a look at like stuff? I still have that, because I don't take it for granted.
It's interesting because you're right. You have built that level of authenticity and a true audience around that channel. And so therefore the brands from, you know, the likes of Dior to Chanel and what have you are working with you. And that's awesome, because we're on the high end. We all love luxury. Who doesn't?
Yes.
I do see you work with more, what I would say, accessible and mainstream brands.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. How do you decide to put them into the mix, you know, in your kind of merchandising of your Instagram, so to speak?
Yeah, well, I think, again, the reality of who I am is that I'm high-low. You know what I mean? Like, I've always lived my life and saved for a really good handbag. It's what I did when I worked at General Pants. I remember saving my money to buy my Marc Jacobs groovy bag back then. But I love working with, you know, like smaller accessible brands, because that's how I shop. You know what I mean? I don't wear head-to-toe designer. I love finding a bargain. I love wearing vintage. I love, you know, finding little brands on Instagram that I've never heard of before. And then, you know, I buy something and I'm like, oh my God, that's wicked. I love that. Like, so it's easy to work with brands on the spectrum, because that's how I shop and that's who I am.
Yeah. So you don't think that working with any, like an up-and-coming startup brand or anything like that would cause you to lose momentum? So
oh my God, no, I love it. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like the thing that's consistent with that is working with small brands or luxury brands, the way I enter into creating content is the same. I use a professional photographer, I scout locations, I give it the same amount of time, and that's because that's how I see my brand as Elle Ferguson. I think it's just like my aesthetics, my brand.
Yeah, totally. Your color palette's like blue, tan,
bit of yellow, you know, and that's
bright. It's happy. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, like it's, totally. And I think what I've learned is that resonates so well overseas. You know, a lot of people when I travel always associate me with that, you know, Aussie beach babe. And I'm really lucky to be able to portray that to the rest of the world and the global audience that I have. And that's allowed me to open many doors overseas because that's what I showcase. You know what I mean? And vice versa, when we could travel, I was showing Australia where to go overseas.
Totally. And so, do you think that is a part of why the international brands are so interested in working with you? Because, you know, they want that diversity of content. They want something to look like it's come out of Sydney. And yeah, you deliver on that.
I feel like it's the quintessential, like, Aussie beach babe vibe that you get from me. And the funny thing is again, back to being authentic, it's not something I ever chased. Do you know what I mean? I live by the beach. I go to the beach. I love a golden tan. I've always got beachy hair. That is who I am. So when I started working with international brands, it was funny that they had typecast me as this person because I was like, this is who I am.
That's me anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm like, I wear denim shorts to the opera house. That's who I am, you know? Like, and they were like, it's so cool how you do that. And they're like, you're Aussie style. And I'm like, that's just how it rolls. Like, yeah. So.
Totally. Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. I hadn't really broken that down in my head before, but it makes total sense.
Dinner for Two is brought to you by Vista. If you're a small business owner, entrepreneur, or have a creative idea, Vista will help you bring your vision to life. Through their professional design solutions and services and high-quality marketing products, you can build a brand you can be proud of. Visit vistaprint.com.au to start creating.
You know, just for any content creators listening out there, what are you finding now? I mean, like, Instagram has changed so much, right? It was previous static images and now we're real stories, lives. What are you finding your audience are loving the most at the moment?
Again, back to being authentic. The audience loves to get a snapshot into your life. And I think you can't just stay on one thing. So I was lucky enough to be on a panel with Eva Chen from Instagram. Yeah. And she said something really important and said, you actually need every function you need to be part of and you need to be working through every function. So you need to be asking questions, doing polls, doing reels, doing lives, doing IGTV. I was like, holy hell. Like, but you really should be spreading yourself across all the different ways. You should be shopping, like, you know what I mean? Doing your shopping guides, because if somebody's coming to you, they actually want all those touch points. So at the moment, I really am trying to do everything, but then I'm also trying to incorporate it into my life where it doesn't feel necessarily like a job. Like the stuff I shoot on a Friday, that's my job. Like my hard grid stuff is very polished. Like I said, I shoot with a professional photographer where, you know, reels and lives and stories is very organic. So I feel like I look at the two, like I shoot on a Friday and then everything else is just in the moment as it happens. It's happening in real time.
Mm. And you finding the organic content, is that doing better than some of the hard grid stuff out of interest?
It's really hard to say. I think where we are right now has been really hard without travel because I just feel like we've been through a really big shift. And I think people want to see something amazing we've seen inside of everybody's house. So I feel like organic content is performing really well when I'm doing something exciting. The at-home do-it-yourself stuff is amazing. Like those numbers are ridiculous. And it's funny because I then am now thinking to myself, has there been a shift in my audience from just fashion?
So what do you think is next for creators in terms of platform content?
Do you know what? I think it's really interesting working with you guys at Like to Know It because I really love the power going back to the creator. And I think, you know, when I was traveling and spending a lot of time in LA, that creator had a lot of power, you know what I mean? And a lot of voice and a lot of perspective. And I think Australia is slowly catching up to where a lot of the respect to the creator is and things like that. So I'm hoping that creators will have a lot more input in big things here in Australia and big brands.
So then with your own brand, do you work with creators to sell the L Effect product?
And
what's that process like for you in terms of working with, you know, fellow colleagues?
I think I'm a really hard brand to work with because I set the guidelines really hard.
What do you mean by it being hard though?
Well, just because I know my standards are so high. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know how high the standard is set for me by brands and how high I set it for myself. So if you work with Elefect, I am that person where I'm like, I'm sorry, I can see, you know, like the toilet seats up in the background. You need to reshoot all of that because I don't want a toilet in the back. It needs to be on a wipe. Like, I've always been in the details. So I'm really hard like that. I'm also...
With Elefect, are you casting, like, you know, working with influencers who are on Instagram or TikTok as well, or like how are you finding the girls?
Yeah,
or even
boys.
I mean, it's not yeah.
We're exactly. A product for everybody.
You are a product for everybody.
Yeah, that's been the big thing, is especially when I get into the numbers and the insights for Elefect, it's such a broad product to everybody, where Elle Ferguson is such a niche. Like, I know my audience, I know who they are, where Elefect consistently surprises me, because what I thought it would be, I really thought it would be a reflection of just Elle Ferguson. I thought the audience would almost be exactly the same. So the first year of the business, I just used me. Everything was shot with me. Like, it was all Elle Ferguson world. That's how I saw it. And it was really funny because it didn't have the momentum that I thought it would, like Elle Ferguson was. Do you know what I mean? So I had to really sit down and get into the numbers and kind of make it a little bit more real, like a little bit more raw. Like,
and so where are you finding that more real, you know, creator? Like, still... on the TikTok, on the gram.
It's really funny. I find the girls that have got less followers work a lot better for Elefect. So creators that are sitting, you know, between 15 and 20,000 followers, they just convert like no tomorrow. And it's really funny because I would have thought it would.
It's not really funny.
No, because it's interesting how engaged their follower is. You know what I mean? And it goes back to the fact that that number next to your name doesn't really necessarily mean a lot. You could have 15,000 followers and every single one of them buys, versus having a million followers and only, you know, 500 of them buy.
Totally.
A lot of it comes from people that organically use the brand and we'll be talking about it on their channels organically, and then we will see an uplift, and then most likely we contact them and we're like, hey, do you want to work together?
Who does that work? You've got, how big is the Elefect team these days?
I wish it was a lot bigger than it is at the moment, but we just signed a lease for a new office. Oh, I know.
Congratulations.
Can I tell you, girlfriend, this is the first office that Elle Ferguson / Elefect has ever had, and... it's a real like pinch me moment, because I remember working for Jamie Blakey at One Teaspoon and going to her first office as a little baby and being like, oh my God, this is amazing. And now like I've got my own one and I'm like, wow, I'm responsible.
I can't wait to come over.
I know, it's going to be fun. But yeah, full-timers, I've got 3 full-timers, and then I've got a handful of contractors that are working with me. And I work with a digital agency. I finally found one that I love and we get along and we've got the same vision. So I'm working with them as well.
I know. I don't want to, again, I feel like I'm a dinosaur, but do you work with a lot of young people, younger people who then are like, you know, Instagram is dead. We should just build the brand up on TikTok, and we need a,
it's interesting.
You know,
yeah, we've got a good mix, I would say, a good mix, because again, the product being Elefect is quite all over the place, hence why we're in Mecca. We are in bricks and mortar, because not everybody that buys Elefect is on TikTok. You know what I mean? Betty at Bankstown, I don't think has TikTok, but she's going to, you know, Penrith Shopping Centre and buying it from Mecca. So,
so
you've got to make sure you're everywhere, kind of thing. But I get what you're saying with the youth of today and
how do you keep
relevant?
Because in building a business, of course you would sell to your immediate audience, which is obviously this community of people that are very engaged with Instagram, very engaged with traditional retailers. But then if you want to sell a product to a 16-year-old, how do you do that? And do you think about that a lot?
Yeah, of course. Like, I think about it. I think about it, like, Afterpay shocked me. So when Afterpay came to Elefect, and I was working with them as Elle Ferguson with Revolve over in the States, And then they came to me and they were like, you don't have it on Elefect. And I was like, I don't need it on Elefect. It's like a bottle of tan is like $40. Like nobody is going to be after paying $40. Like it just didn't make sense to me. They were hounding us for like a good 6 to 12 months. And it was actually Joel that said to me, babe, I think we need to try the afterpay thing. And I was like, okay, you do it. And then he got it on there and it blew up. Yeah. And then when we looked at who was buying. Yeah.
It was the younger kids.
It was the younger kids. And it really made me have perspective and kind of say to myself, well, when I was, you know, like 16 to 21, I probably didn't have $40 that was just there to buy a tan. You got to have a finger in every pot.
Reaching that younger demographic is super interesting. Like, and I do think that's how you keep pushing your business forward. And so then will we ever see content on Elle Ferguson that is more that youth style?
I would like to say like yes and no. You know, I mean, like I've got a TikTok account. I'm going to be really transparent. I think I got really burnt out at the end of last year. I think I worked so hard on my businesses to stay afloat during the pandemic. I think I worked harder than I ever have. And I think I got to the end of last year and I needed to take a breath. And sadly, with the outbreaks in Sydney and just like everything that we've gone through over the Christmas break, I feel as though I probably didn't get to catch my breath the way I wanted to. With saying that, I'm hoping to take a break and take a breath and then reset because I love it. You got to pivot. And the way the thing's happening right now is you need to pivot to TikTok. That's where we're going. People are shopping on there. People are hanging out. That's where we've got to go. I don't know if I'll be doing like some sort of crazy thing because that's just kept to my nearest and dearest that get to see that, you know, but yeah.
I have a TikTok and everyone's like, you're yourself on it. Like I do these vlogs and my sister's like, why is it done in such a monotonous tone? And, you know, you can also put music on it. And I was like, oh, but this is like just
your
me.
Your sister's
this
very similar to my sister. They very tell it as it is. And you've just kind of got to be like, okay, you know, like, it's funny. No, but then like, you know, then there's other platforms. I'm not going to say OnlyFans because that's not where I am, but then there's other platforms that are now, you know, services that you are paid to subscribe to essentially see what I'm giving you for free on Instagram. You know, Joel and I have had numerous conversations about, you know, starting a channel. It's pretty much a television show, but I'm, you know, asking you to subscribe, which would be amazing. But in itself, that's a whole nother business. You know what
that
I mean?
Is, like, I don't know if you've got time for that.
I know. I just need to have somebody follow me
around. You just got a new office.
So I know, but imagine them in there filming while I'm like setting it up. And then I'm like, so, you know, like.
It'd be like the Academy of Elle Ferguson.
It'd be like full on. Could you imagine? They'd be like, how?
Then you have guests on there and I could come in and be like.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're here and you're carrying all the roundhouse stuff. Let's learn how to set a table.
Dinner for two.
See, isn't that like how? But that really, that's how it should be working. You know what I mean? Which like saying when you know creators like you cross pollinate. That's how it should be working. I think that's what I miss about traveling so much is that kind of like cross pollination of working with other people. And I think Americans are a little bit more open door and we all can do it together. And I think here we're in Australia, we're a little bit more guarded. And I think people are scared by sharing their audience. They're going to lose numbers where really, if we're all together, we all lift each other up. You know what I mean? Like if we all come together and we all go for it. And I think you are very good at doing that, promoting other brands and combining brands with people and platforms. It all works out better for us and we kind of have to like drop our guard a little bit. You know, I remember when I started shooting on a Friday, I didn't tell anybody about it. And now I'm like, guys, shoot once a week, bank your content, you know, get it done, you're done.
Maybe it's symptomatic of it being a small market so people are a bit guarded, as you say. But, you know, I like you say, I work with so many different people and I've always just, I found that to be very enjoyable, mainly because of the cross-pollination of ideas, but also like you only can grow and learn to the extent that you
100%.
Either do further education. But in our world, what even is that? Yeah. And so you can only learn from each other.
Yeah. And exposing yourself with other people and, you know, like doing other things. We're in the space to inspire and be inspired.
Sliding Doors this year what have you been recording and what do we have to look forward to?
Sliding Doors is my podcast and it is a labor of love because it is stepping out of my norm. You know what I mean? Like it was a real, the network came to me and I'd done an episode with Mark Boris and I kind of put him in his place during the episode and it was like the highest rating episode ever.
I better listen to that. Okay.
Oh my gosh, if you not heard it, I really like, yeah, he judged the book by its cover and he shouldn't have. And it was opening another channel up to me. You know what I mean? Like it, totally. It added another layer. People got to kind of hear me and get a little bit more about who I am. But it has been the most rewarding thing I've done because the people that I speak to and these conversations are priceless. You know what I mean? And learning and hearing that there's this common thread between entrepreneurs and people that just won't give up has been so amazing. Like today, I spoke to Beyonce's stylist who put her in that big black cap for the Formation video and she just won an Emmy. And I'm like talking to her and it's just like this opportunity is so unique, you know, like it's just, then I spoke to the CEO of Victoria Beckham Beauty, you know what I mean? And she tells me about her journey. And like Ray that you work with, I spoke to her as well today, who was Anna Wintour's assistant, which was just amazing. But like these conversations are conversations that, you know, we would have if I met them at an event or I had the opportunity to sit down and have a coffee and I get to record them and then put them out on this channel so everybody can listen to them and everybody can be inspired. And I feel very, you know, lucky like yourself to be able to have these conversations with people and share them and like hopefully make a difference in somebody.
Yeah, yeah, totally. We all know why I'm doing this and I've said this in prior episodes, but I definitely wanted to, you know, put together the steps for people on growing businesses and different aspects of business. And, you know, that's why it's been so great to speak to
you. Yeah, you're a powerhouse. That's why I can't wait to get you on my show so I can ask you all my questions.
Love talking to you about maintaining momentum in business, Elle, and you have definitely been a part of my strategy on how to maintain momentum in my businesses. So thank you so much for your time. Cannot wait to have dinner in real life one time.
I know. Thank you so much for having me. I adore everything you do. I love chatting with you. It's been such a pleasure to be part of this.
Loved talking to Elle. Love thinking about how to maintain momentum in my business after that conversation. Top three things I think from that are, one, to diversify your content platforms. Love that she's just thrown herself into TikTok. But also, two, maintain your core audience. I mean, they're the people that you're selling to, so it's important to ensure that everyone is really happy. And three, collaborating with others. Like, I love collaborating, and so it's really nice to hear that Elle's into it as well. And, you know, not to be too guarded with your information, because when you start sharing stuff, that's when you get stuff back, and all the information is totally useful. Thanks so much for joining us for Dinner for Two. I'm Elise Tran.